You're listening to Kevin and the Spleen.
No one's gonna ever love me.
1098.5 Radio QWX. Real quick.
Bussin', no cap.
No cap.
Really smack you in the ass with flavor. There you go. This show is about depression, anxiety, PTSD, and chronic illness.
We going quick. Trying to keep you on the path to the ride home on the evening time.
It's a fucking zoo.
Make it quicks with the Quicks Radio.
White lives do not matter.
Hello and welcome to the 68th Grammy Awards. That's right, we're coming to you live from the red carpet. Although, is that red? That's no red I recognize. Coming to you live from the fuchsia carpet, it's the Spleen, folks. We got a great show for you. We're going to try and interview all the stars and starlets. There goes Bad Bunny, you know, hopping down the aisle. Bad Bunny, he just took a shit. Oh, no, Bad Bunny. Oh, God, he really is a bad bunny. We got Addison Rae coming through. Addison, do you have a moment to talk? No. Getting icy, daggery stares from Addison Rae. Ow, that one stabbed me a little bit. And Dochi is here, folks. Ooh, baby, gotta have Dochi. Dochi sounds like Mochi. Kevin.
Yeah. Yes, Lane.
Why did you send me here? Why did you spend me, sir?
Well, you're very valuable. I feel like, you know, you've got your pulse on the music industry, and I feel like, you know, you would have a lot to add and some interesting questions to ask some people if we were able to get one.
Yeah. I guess I kind of thought that. Now that I'm here, I don't know. I don't know where the bathroom is. I got splashed, Kevin. I got splashed by a town car.
Okay.
It's not going well. I'm not exactly feeling golden by K-pop Demon Hunters. You know what I mean, folks? Ha ha. Do I say ha ha?
I think you do.
Is that a different guy that says ha ha? Will Smith. I'm thinking of Will Smith. He's the ha-ha guy. Okay, yes. That's Will Smith. I'm another guy. We're on the red carpet. Will Smith. There he goes. Will Smith, can I get a ha-ha? Will Smith punched me in the face. Okay. I thought he was over that, folks. I thought that was kind of, we closed the book on that whole chapter, but apparently not. There goes Billie Eilish. I'm being told that's not Billie Eilish.
Who's telling you these things?
I was about to ask you that, Kevin. Who's telling me this stuff?
Did you pick up someone else's earpiece?
Oh, yes. Okay, yes. No, that's what happened. Right. I ate a guy in the car. I had the earpiece left over. I actually had both of the ears. Like, those horrible stuff. Horrible organs, as far as I'm concerned. Ears. But I had the earpiece, so, you know, I figured I'm not going to hurt anything. Hello?
I think you might
can
have,
you
actually.
Hear me? I can hear the guy in the earpiece. I don't know if they can hear me.
I think
sense.
You might have tapped into something else. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
did
I don't have
like
a mic.
Like someone famous that you ate?
No. That guy didn't matter at all. Like, no one cares. It's fine. Like, he doesn't matter. But yeah, I mean, I'm surprised. I don't know. I'm not talking into a microphone, Kevin. This is just a carrot that I painted black. Yeah.
Hey. Well, I mean, for what you got going right now, you're doing really well. I've got to say, this is probably one of our best shows so far.
Wow, I'm almost doing as well as K-pop Demon Hunters. Picking up a Grammy. Picking up their first Grammy. We knew that they were expected to get a Grammy the past 4 years running, which is interesting because the movie hadn't come out yet. But they finally did it. We righted some wrongs today. Sabrina Carpenter's in the house, baby. Oh, yeah. How's it going? Oh, she's building a workbench. Okay.
She's very busy.
And of course, Trevor Noah, he's the man of the hour, some might say. I don't know what that means, but some might
Okay.
say that, right?
I would be all yes, he's the man of many hours.
Yeah. I'm done. Okay.
Okay.
It's over. That's our show, folks. Ugh, Kevin.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how much detail we want to go into, but basically, I had to scoop out a lot of my intestines this morning. No. This isn't the show. This isn't the show I wanted to do. This isn't the show I prepared for you today. But great. Perfect. It's just the camera. It's perfect. It's you wanna be in thirds. That's a big part of photography, and this is a very good dynamic stage picture. But yeah, it's not the show I wanted to bring you. Don't worry about that. You didn't even know. You're like, what are you talking about? This is just as bad as I would have expected. No. It was supposed to be good, actually. But, the show must go on. I don't know. Kevin was like, well, we don't have to do the show. And I'm like, well, we're here, which I don't know where you are, Kevin, but I'm just at my house. So it's like, we're
Yeah.
here doesn't really mean anything to me, you know?
I mean, that's kind of how this podcast started. We were just kind of like, we're here, let's do a podcast.
Yeah.
And
Yeah.
then we're still doing that today. So that's, we went on quite the journey.
Yeah, Shaboozy. That's a guy who's at the Grammys. I think he won a something. I don't know. The Grammys suck. For some reason, I thought it was going to be the Oscars today, and I was like, why are the Oscars today? That doesn't sound right. It wasn't right. The Oscars are not today. I don't know. I don't know. I'm in a bad mood. I was in a bad mood today. Bad mood day. Feeling shitty today. I was like, well, it'll be good to not think about this. When you're feeling bad, it's good to involve other people and other energies, right? Because then you're not, 'cause part of depression is like, I'm so fucking sick of my own bullshit, right? And so being able to indulge in someone else's bullshit is a balm to the soul. And so now being thrust back into my own bullshit, it's like, woof. I mean, no good. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know, man. Can you talk for a little bit? I gotta check something.
You gotta check something.
I gotta check something, yeah.
Okay, sure. So yeah, I don't know. I've never really like I've watched the Oscars and I've enjoyed it. I've watched the Emmys. I enjoy that even more. I've never actually enjoyed watching the Grammys though. And I don't know if it's because I just have like disconnected so much from modern music or the presentation feels off because it's people who really aren't good at comedy and improvising stuff like that are also kind of trying to, and it comes off as a little bit fake. But I don't know. I just always feel like the Grammys are kind of disappointing to watch, other than the music acts. And then this is just me getting old, I think, but half the time now on the Grammys, I don't know who the performers are,
Yeah,
And
music is such a like I am not with the times anymore kind of thing, you know?
yeah, that's and sometimes I'm pleasantly surprised and I discover somebody new that I didn't know that I would have liked. And then the rest of the time, it's kind of like, oh, I did not enjoy that,
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think everyone goes through this, whether they want to admit it or not, is that there's at some point in your life where you just stop ingesting new music at the rate that you used to.
Right. Yeah.
And I feel like I hit that a long time ago, and I hate that because I always swore to myself that would never be me. I would never be the one to just like not be into new stuff. But it's just like I hear my father's words coming out of my mouth about like today's music not being as good. And I don't know if that's actually true this time, but I want to tell myself I'm actually speaking the truth and it's not just the cycle perpetuating itself again. But I feel like that's where I'm at today.
Yeah, well, what do you okay, so let's explore or describe your musical preferences.
I don't know. See, I listen to so little music anymore. I used to be the kind of person where if I was working alone in my office, I had to have music on, or the silence just like was too intense.
And would you put on anything? Like, how would you put on music? The radio, CD?
Often it would be the radio, so that's how I would get new things. Sometimes it would just be I would take my MP3 collection and just put it on shuffle and just kind of let it go. There are places where I've worked where we've all just sort of like dumped MP3s on a server and we got new music that way by all just sharing each other's music and stuff like that. But anymore, I can't work. It just seems too intense now, and I spend more time analyzing the music than I am working. And when I try new things, I like so little of it that I really have a tough time.
Yeah, I think it's like a skill you kind of have to actively continue to cultivate to not just kind of rest on your laurels or whatever musically, you know, just like dig whatever your stuff. But yeah, I don't know. Like American radio is such fucking trash. I think like American pop hits or whatever, radio pop hits. It's not I there, it, there it's not like there's not good stuff there, but I think they've kind of become more formulaic and more restricted in some ways, although I'm sure it's opened up in a lot of ways too. Like the kinds of music that are counted as pop music is probably a lot broader. But I don't know. I think that's changed to an extent. I mean, like, there's always been good and bad pop music, but I feel like the popular pop music is maybe worse than it used to be. And also, I think this is kind of like really recent. I feel like maybe 3 years ago, it wasn't as dire as it feels now. I don't know. Or maybe I'm just out of touch and there's like some imaginary time I'm imagine or thinking of that. Like it just was a dip or something. But I think TikTok has really changed popular music because the songs that go viral on TikTok, they kind of only go viral for their hook. Not like the hook. I don't know. Hook has like such a specific musical meaning, but like I don't know that the hook is the part that gets clipped into TikTok, but whatever that part that gets clicked into TikTok is like, it's, I don't know what it is, but I think that it's almost as if they designed that piece not first, but more. And then the rest of the song is almost just something else. And so you get all these clips where you're like, this sounds fucking crazy. And then you listen to the song. And it's like a normal song that goes fucking crazy for about 15 seconds. And it's like, why
Yeah.
is that? Why don't you make the whole song like the part that clearly has like the most effort put into it? You know?
Yeah. And I think we talked about this before, but like we've lost that monoculture that we used to have where, everybody all listened to roughly the same. Like if you like this genre, you were only listening to the same songs, and everybody else who liked that genre is the same. And now it's so splintered and divided down into all these subcultures and sub-subcultures. You don't just like pop music, you like a very, very specific kind of pop music. And the algorithms on whatever social media you're watching pick up on that and hyper target very specific things to you. So even if you and I have similar music tastes, we probably are not listening to the same music anymore. And that's weird and kind of like, I don't know, I think a step back. Like I see how it's happened. I don't know how to fix it, but I think that we're worse off that way.
Another like TikTok dynamic, and it's hard because you can read vibes in the general populace's response or whatever, but then obviously, yeah, the algorithm silos off a lot of things, so it's like, is that really? And then also there's this problem that happens online where someone's like, I thought you guys said this about this television show or video game, and now you're saying this, and it's like, well, probably you saw person A's opinion and then person B's opinion. And it's not like a person switched from opinion A to opinion B. It's probably more like there's just different opinions and you're ascribing them to the same group, you know?
Yeah.
But something
I
I'm
think.
seeing is like bands that are really hyped and really popular. Suddenly everyone's like, this was always bad and no one ever liked it. And it's like, No, you guys were going fucking crazy for it. What are you talking about? You know, so like that's kind of like my version of that, where it's like, am I just describing that to these people? But it's like, this stuff is really big. And then like the one that I'm thinking of right now is a band called Cat's Eye. It's like a Korean band. I don't know what it is. I shouldn't even speak to it, but like blowing the fuck up for like a year plus, and then the new album came out with some songs that people really hated, and they're like, Cat's Eye was always bad and no one has ever liked it. And it's like, okay, I mean, it didn't seem like it seemed like you guys were dancing and whatever, you know, but I don't know. I
Yeah.
don't know.
I feel like over time the bar for what's considered acceptable levels of effort keeps going up, and then suddenly it just crashed off. You know, like I think that the ultimate of like low level bef in the past was like, you know, the song Do the Twist, you know, Chubby Checker, that was
Yeah.
like, you know, a huge hit. And then he was like, you know what I'm gonna do next year? The same song again, and he released Let's Twist Again. And that also was a number one song, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it was that easy to just keep churning out I mean, literally the same song again, but other than changing a couple words around. And
Yeah.
then over time, that's gotten harder and harder and harder. And then today, we're doing more little short digestible remixes of previously popular things again.
Yeah. Like things get remixed so much. It's like you listen to these things like that where it's like they just do a really popular song and then they do some like singing over it. And it's like, well, what's good about your song is the other person's song that's in it, you know? And it's like, it doesn't really feel like a remix. It's like, damn, this song is so good. How about I release it? Which is such a fucking AI TikTok level thing where it's just TikTok is like, TikTok's awesome. It's like, see this famous tweet everyone stole or everyone loves? What if I just said it straight looking at the camera? Isn't that funny if I'm doing it? And it's like, no, that's not your identity, isn't what makes the content good. But you know, it's like I feel like it feels like that approach to songs. It's like, wow, what if I had this song? And it's like, well, it would have been good if you came up with it, but actually you didn't. You did something else.
Yeah,
But
but I
anyway,
mean,
what you're, oh, go ahead.
where do
Sorry.
you draw the line between flat out stealing and borrowing what feels comfortable because that's become part of the genre? Like, you know, to get off music for a second, I would say a more than half of like fantasy based role playing games or video games or whatever go back to the same elves and orcs and trolls and the same monsters and that sort of thing. Because it means you're instantly familiar with it without having to just do a whole lore dump to get the person interested in it. Music, I think, is sort of the same way. Comedy is sort of the same way. Where's the line between, hey, I'm stealing from The Hobbit and taking all of these characters and races and things like that from that and putting this in my role-playing game? Why is that okay? But, you know, re repeating somebody else's joke word slightly differently, not the same, you know.
Yeah, well, games are interesting because you can't actually copyright or trademark game mechanics. So game mechanics themselves are basically free game to steal. But you can say that, well, we copyright beholders and now no one can use beholders or mind flayers, you know, but they can't actually say we invented D20 rolling. So that's part of it. But yeah, it's interesting. I think culturally a lot has changed. I don't know. I do want IP to be protected somewhat, but I also think that it's good that everybody can use ideas, you know, and ideas want to be used in a million different ways too. So it's like it's hard to know where you draw the line. And then people do really blatant thievery too, you know. And that's obviously bad. I don't know. But we it's just circle back to something you're talking about, how like you just redo the same stuff, Chubby Checker, and what came to mind is Bobby Boris Pickett, the Monster Mash. He came up with like the Monster Swim, the Blood Bank Blues, the Transylvania Twist, the Werewolf Watusi, and I think he also did something called Climate Mash. I want to say fucking Dino Stamatopoulos always used to talk about climate mash. Bobby Boris Pickett did like a, it was about, you know, global warming or whatever. It was called climate mash. And that's woof. I mean, you know, you got to hand it
Yeah.
to him.
But how much of that too is he's giving people what they want because that's that's what he's known for. Like, the musician Tiny Tim had said several times of like, I'm kind of tired of the falsetto and, playing this exact same type of song over and over again. And he really wanted to branch out more, but every time he tried, his existing fans were like, this isn't Tiny Tim. Oh, how do you get out of that rut if that's what people are expecting from you? Like, oh, you're the guy who makes slightly, derivative work off Monster Mash, and we keep coming back for more of it.
Well, I don't think people were really wanting that. I think people like the Monster Mash and everything else is like, get out of here, but who knows? But that's just that one guy. It says he died in 2007 in Los Angeles. I wonder what that was like towards the end, being an old Los Angeles Bobby Boris Pickett, Really, really gives you some ideas. I went, I didn't go to the protests that were happening. I don't know. I don't like being super performative with protest stuff, but you got to take pictures when you go to protests. I take pictures too, but you also see people being kind of performative. I haven't actually seen that this time around, people looking like they're doing performative photo ops and stuff, but I kind of would have liked, there was a lot of people at the 30th protest, and I guess the 31 pro 31st protest too. I didn't go there. On the 30th, I was meeting an animator for lunch, and it was cool getting to know him, or talking to him. Abed was there too. It was me, Abed, and this animator. And yeah, it was cool meeting him. I traded him. I gave him some chili that I made, and he gave me a loaf of bread. And that was some fucking good bread. I demolished like an entire loaf in 2 days. That, yeah, just free associating. Ugh, ugh, I hate it. The Jack Black in the Minecraft movie, he's like, villagers, these guys love crushing a loaf. And I absolutely crushed a loaf. And I don't mean I sat in some dog shit. Is that something? I was just thinking, I don't know, I was thinking I gotta get funnier. I'm having a lot of thoughts. I think I gotta do more comedy stuff. I gotta become funny again. I think I've lost my sense of humor somehow, to an extent. Part of it, I think, is autism. I don't know. Not that I have it. Someone will make a joke and I'll have to like treat it seriously, even though I know they're joking. And then they're like, I was joking. And I'm like, I know. And I'm deconstructing it for no reason. It's like, yeah, okay. But it's tough. And I feel like I'm in that mode a lot. I'll listen to jokes and I'll be like, but I'm angry because actually, and it's like, that's not what jokes are. Jokes aren't like explaining what's factually incorrect with a joke. And so I gotta kick that. But I was so, I don't know. But it also, it's like, it feels so late to be like, now I'm gonna try the arts. It's like, this is the time where you fucking get realistic, right? But I don't know. Someone died at like 72 or something. I don't know who. It wasn't like a famous person necessarily. But then I was like, what am I? I'm 36 or something. If I died at 72, I would have my whole life again from here to then, And, it would be lucky if I lived to 72 or whatever. But I was thinking about that and I was like, that does seem like enough time to like completely become a comedy guy. I mean, by the time I'm 60, maybe I don't want to, I don't know. But on paper, it's like, I guess I have time for at least a couple big shifts, but I'm just too slow. I gotta make, I don't know. It's depressing. I don't know. I don't know why. I guess I'm getting these. I'm following a bunch of chats that are looking at ICE, following ICE agents and stuff, trying to see where ICE is headed. And there's been a lot of action in LA lately. And these groups, I think I talked about this last time before, but these groups, there's not a lot they can do to actually stop it. They can deter it. And it's kind of like hardening schools, that idea of we got to harden our schools. Like if you're in the area and they notice there's like significant like volunteer presence, they might go somewhere else. So you can kind of, but here's the thing, they go somewhere else. They don't go nowhere, so they just go find some other fucking innocent people to take. And so it's like, yeah, we are doing deterrence, and some, you know, some of them, they might give up or whatever, or, you know, we're decreasing their rate of kidnapping. You know, if they were going to kidnap three people, now they're only kidnap one or something, you know, because they skipped one of their kidnap times. I don't know. A lot of what they do is like aftercare, and aftercare is incredibly depressing because it's like, this guy was fucking taken. We have to find someone to drive his car home to his family, so at least his car doesn't get impounded. You know, they're trying to take his phone and his keys and stuff. Someone has to come up and try and take his like wallet so they can identify him and find his family and let them know that this has happened. Because what happens is the people disappear and no one hears from them, and you just don't know what happened. There's this thing called an A number, and the A number is how you track people that are in the system, and they don't tell you your A number right away. But without an A number, there's basically no way to get in direct contact using like the pay money system to get a hold of these people. So like all of this stuff is really important, and it's really crushing. And then, you know, you have like, there is this thing where I'm not exactly sure what it was, but I think it was like a school, like a little school, not like a normal school, but like it was like a school or like some sort of after school center or something like that. And they got raided. And so a couple got people got taken. So now the kids are all freaking out. Then, you know, there's some kids that can't get home, you know. And so like, and then ICE will come back a lot of times. They'll hit a place and then they'll come back. And so then they got to send people out in the neighborhood watching for ICE. And it's just like, I mean, not to get too dramatic, but it's like war. It's like there's terrorists that are in our community, and the best thing we can do is track them, try to deter them, and block them from doing what they're doing, which is violently ripping people from their communities, beating the shit out of them, you know, sending them to what amounts to death, you know. And they don't stay. They don't stay in one because they shuffle them around to make them harder to find. And then they put them in like these mass ones that are in Texas where they're just killing people every day. You know, what is it? Alligator Alcatraz. There's like 1,200 people that aren't accounted for. What the fuck? What happened to those people? Are they dead? Like, there's no way to know. And so like, there's like, without more involvement, and I think I mentioned last time about how there's a lot of people who want to do stuff and not a lot of people to organize them, you know. But without more people, it really limits what can be done, you know. And so it's just like, it's really crushing. I don't know. All of this makes it sound like I'm maybe more involved than I actually am. It's just being exposed to this more directly. It really hits home a lot more. And so it's tough, and it's going to keep happening. Greg Bovino showed up in L.A. and gave like a speech to the Nazis, kind of just basically reaffirming the stuff he had said before, which is like, you know, you're the best people that exists, and law doesn't apply to you, and beat anyone up who bothers you. And I'm just like, I don't know why he was here, what purpose he's here. The news was reporting he was going to go retire, but, you know, it's all just nonsense. And also everything's changing. You know, maybe he was going to go to retire, but I don't know. But if he's going to start being in charge here, that could be like really, really, really bad. LA is a lot less centralized than Minneapolis is, and it makes it a lot harder to actually oppose what's happening. It gives them a lot more routes to get around. Like I said, you can send them away from this block, but if you send them away from this block and they go three blocks down and take more people, it's like we didn't really do much, you know. And so, and it's not going to end anytime soon, you know. Like obviously Minneapolis became this big media frenzy, and that's a big part of why Tom Homan got put in charge, which who knows if that's going to be better or worse. I certainly don't. You can look at a picture of Tom Homan and not be like, and you're instantly like, yeah, this isn't going to be that much better. I don't know. I don't know. We still don't know what's going to happen there. We don't know what's going to happen here. It's not just going to be over anytime soon. And that just means every day there's going to be like 10 to 20 people just being kidnapped and, you know, essentially sentenced to death on some level. you know, honestly, one of the best outcomes is they just get deported, because then they like might have some friends and family back where they are, and they're not fucking left in a dungeon to fucking die, or you know, get raped or whatever. It just, yeah, it's just tough. I don't know. I wanna do more. I don't, you know, again, I'm trying to get more involved just so I know what groups are doing what, to try and connect to more ability to help. And I don't know, it's tough. Yeah, I don't know. I went to, like I said, I couldn't go to the thing on Friday because I was meeting that guy for lunch. And then I was like, we could have rescheduled this. We probably could have done it the day before. Wouldn't have been a problem at all. Then I could do both. I was just talking to someone where I realize I don't think of that stuff. I don't think of rescheduling to suit my appointments. It's like, well, I said I was going to do this, and I just have to live with it. You know, it's like no one cares. But yeah, yesterday I went to went towards the downtown area. We me and my friend wanted to just see what was happening. We were too early to go to a protest or whatever. But we just kind of walked around Little Tokyo in this area called like Olvera Street or whatever, which is near where one of the protests I went was. We watched this, someone called it Danza, which is like a traditional kind of like Latin American dance. I don't know exactly the culture. We didn't really ask. But it was cool. You know, we went around Little Tokyo. I got a yakisoba bread, which is disgusting. Yakisoba bread, Kevin. Is yakisoba is kind of like a Japanese take on chow mein. It's a thinner noodle, but it's like a stir-fried noodle, often with some vegetables, maybe some meat. Yakisoba bread is a loaf that is reminiscent, if you want to crush a loaf, it's reminiscent of like the size of maybe a Subway loaf, or like that kind of sandwich, maybe smaller than a Subway, maybe like an 8-inch or 6-7 inch or something. And the bread itself is basically like a sweet kind of hot dog bun almost. And you put the stir-fried noodles in it. There's mayo in the sandwich, and then there's pickled ginger. Yeah, pickled ginger on top of the sandwich, which sounds fucking insane. And it is. It's like an insane concoction. But the kind of mild savoriness of the chow mein or the yakisoba really brings out the sweetness of the bread, and which isn't super sweet, but just in that combination, it like has a lot of sweetness, which is a little bit like a ham sandwich. You know, when you have a ham sandwich, like the bread kind of tastes pretty sweet. I guess ham is a little sweet anyway, but, and then that sweetness and that little bit of savory really is a good platform for mayonnaise. Like, I've had this yakisoba bread before, and it kind of is good or bad depending on if there's enough mayonnaise or not. But then the mayonnaise comes and it's fat and it goes with the noodles. It's really good. And then you get this little pungent punch of the pickled ginger here and there. And I don't know. I used to watch this bread called, or this bread anime called Yakitate Japan. And I think that's where my obsession with yakisoba bread came from, is they just had that. And I was like, that looks so good. I made it as a kid. I just made my own. I stir fried some yakisoba and put it on a hot dog bun. It was fine. I was like, this is good, but it's like, I want to have like a real authentic one, you know? Anyway, so we had that. We went back to Olvera Street and I bought a poncho. Check this out. It's a Snorlax poncho. It's got Pokeballs, Sakura blossoms, it looks like, and a big Snorlax. And I was like, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. Certainly this is going to cost $200. And it was $50, which, you know, is probably a bit priced up or whatever, but I was like, I can't not have this. It's amazing. And it just made me really appreciative for Pokemon. It's great that Pokemon exists. And everyone is like, I have a little guy. This is my favorite little guy, you know, and you don't even have to, like, I don't have a special affinity with Snorlax other than I used to be fat and eat a lot and sleep a lot, you know? But I guess we're basically the same. And I also can't be moved without a Pokeflute, but, I think it was just really cool being like, yeah, this is a weird cash grab. They had like LA Dodgers ones. There's like a One Piece one. I don't know, but I don't know. Just like Pokemon's so great. Oh, it's good. Pokemon need to be in charge. I don't know. I'm kind of rambling, aren't I? Whatever. What's up with you, Kevin? I don't know. Do you have any thoughts?
That sandwich, I'm still thinking about, to be really honest
It's
with you.
well, if you come out here, I'll get
Okay.
some.
Yeah. No, I know this sounds crazy for me to say, but I don't really like the flavor of mayonnaise, but I still put mayonnaise on everything because I feel like the fat in it, once it hits your tongue, opens up your taste buds to all the other flavors. Like it works the same way salt kind of does. It just amplifies everything, but in a different way. It complements what salt does. So
I think fat kind of spreads the flavor around. It makes it like it gets it more amplified almost or something.
yes. And I will generally put on, if I'm making, I don't know, when I'm not feeling like being fancy and I just take ingredients I like and pile them together. Like literally my lunch today was pinto beans and rice, and with way too much sour cream on top, because with and some a bunch of salt too, which I know is not healthy for me in any way
That's
whatsoever,
fine.
but the salt plus the fat from the sour cream makes that delicious, where not having either of those, I just feel like so much is missing that I would not have finished it, and instead I ate this giant bowl of just carbs and beans and
Yeah, I think there's this kind of rice called arroz amarillo or whatever. It just means like yellow rice or something. Or maybe white rice. I don't know. It's like a color and then rice, but basically it is just rice with more butter and salt in it. And just having a little bit of fat and a little bit of salt in it just to kind of amplify that clean kind of watery white rice flavor. It's like the tastes fucking amazing. And that's just rice. That's not beans. You know, it's not even sour cream, you know, but yeah, salt on rice. When I was a kid, I just put a little bit of shredded rice or shredded cheese on rice, and you don't need anything more than that. Like rice and cheese is amazing. It's very tasty. Yeah, I'm just bummed. But it's fine. It's all fine. I mean, it Democrats are always so disappointing, but it feels like there's been some movement regarding ICE with Democrats. I'm sure they're going to fuck it up again or whatever, but or already have, who knows? But just like it does seem like, I don't know. I think people are starting to like understand that no one's going to save us. And I think that's going to drive a lot of really important political action that I hope we can keep up. It does feel like things are changing in some way. I don't know how. But yeah. Oh, I don't think I mentioned it, but there is ICE reported in Burbank right after the show. It was at like the In-N-Out Burger. And so I went out to investigate and I did some investigation and it seemed like it wasn't ICE. It was weird, because like the In-N-Out was all closed down and cleared out. And so people are like, oh, someone got taken from the In-N-Out and they're all closed down, or the employees are just like hiding in the building from the ICE. And so I went down there and I was like, hey, what's going on? And they're like, we're closed down. There's a plumbing issue. And there's like a guy messing around in a hole in the parking lot and he had a big plumbing truck. So it's like, okay. They're not closed down because of ICE. They're just closed down because of a plumbing issue. And then there's all these undercover cops in the area. And they didn't look like ICE. You know, there's ways you can find community trainings that teach you how to spot ICE and stuff. Although, you know, you never know. It's all vibes and stuff. But they didn't look like ICE. Specifically, they had badges, which a lot of ICE agents don't have the badges, and they weren't wearing face masks. And so I ended up going over and asking them what the deal was, and they said they were a regional narcotics task force, and it seemed like they had done some sort of drug bust, and so they arrested someone, and local cops took them away. Which ICE doesn't tell local cops to take away the guys; ICE will take them themselves. So it did seem pretty straightforward that this actually wasn't an ICE raid. It was also late on Sunday night, which is not very common operating hours for ICE, as far as I'm understanding. But it was crazy. But you know, there's a lot of panic. There's a lot of panic that's going around. There's a lot of rumors that are mostly not true. But you know, everyone's afraid. No one wants to put someone else in danger. So you want to err on the side of caution. But you know, if no one's going outside and it's okay to go outside, you know, that's not good either. But yeah, there's the but the Epstein files seem pretty crazy. You know, I think the Epstein files is another thing where it's like, I think a lot of people are gonna be like, if you were like involved in any of this stuff, like you're done, you know. But who knows how strict that's gonna maintain, you know. J.K. Rowling seemed to be in the Epstein files. She invited Epstein to something in 2018. Which that's very late in Epstein lore too. I think that might have been. Let me look this up. I think that might have been after the Epstein docu-series came out. Let's see, maybe not. Filthy Rich. Nope. 2020, it looks like. Okay, before that, but still, I mean, we knew. Everybody knew at that point. It's really crazy, all this Epstein stuff. Noam Chomsky stopped. Noam Chomsky is involved. It seems like Epstein was somehow involved in crypto. People are circulating fake news saying that he claimed to be Satoshi Nakamoto, but no. But it definitely seems. I don't know. What's nuts is that it really does. And everybody's reading these and interpreting them wrong, and they're hard to interpret anyway. You know, who even knows? But like, it really does create the impression that there has been this vast right-wing conspiracy, largely right-wing, although, you know, it is bipartisan, that is all centered around the power structure and the power networks of Epstein himself, which is really crazy because. That's like if a conspiracy theory was right. And that does seem to be the case. It's like there truly is what amounts to like a giant evil cabal that is heavily involved in so many things that have been bad the past 30 years. Like Peter Thiel is involved with Epstein. A lot of people were saying that that was one of the reasons he funded the Gawker lawsuit, is because he could have seen that, like, you know, we don't want investigative journalists who aren't on a leash looking into connections of shady people, because there is apparently an evil cabal to protect from stuff like that. You know, there's all this again, like the J.K. Rowling, you know, so you get a sense that maybe the tentacles reached into this transphobic movement, right? There was Noam Chomsky, who was a leftist and kind of stopped after he dealt with Epstein. There's these CBS connections, like 10 new CBS hires under Barry Weiss's leadership are Epstein people. And so it's like, is she intentionally sane-washing Epstein? And she did a very late interview in Woody Allen, who's a friend of Epstein, you know, and obviously, you know, so it's like, there's an argument people are making that it's like her mission was more or less to launder the reputations of a lot of these people and rebrand them as reactionary centrists and not right-wing pedophiles. There's one I'm forgetting. There's been a lot of this stuff. I don't know. There's one I'm forgetting, but it's like it's another one of these things where it's like, holy shit, even that's connected. And who knows if it's just all surface and it doesn't go that deep, but it's like, wow, there really is an evil cabal of pedophiles who are apparently using pizza code language, code words to refer to sex crimes. And isn't that interesting? Oh, Steve Bannon, that was the other one. Steve Bannon was super into Epstein and he's involved in QAnon. So, like, even the conspiracy that there's this pedophile ring is like related to Epstein, like, which isn't that convenient. Which this is a fun tangent. I was tweeting that you know, you hear the term every accusation is a confession. Though I think one of the problems with Republicans is they don't have empathy, and empathy requires imagination. I was reading Kafka by the Shore, Murakami book, and it gets into like some of the Nazis stuff, like a book about Nazis, and it was talking about Nazis in this book that was in, there was a book they were talking about in the book, Kafka by the Sea. And though they were talking to, they were interviewing these Nazis, and it was like, it was becoming clear that they could not imagine stuff. They didn't have like a mind's eye in that same way. Like they were very literal minded. And when you ask them questions, well, what would so and so think about this? They wouldn't have satisfying answers, as if they had never had these thoughts, as if they were incapable of having imaginative thoughts. And empathy requires imagination. I have to imagine a person who's going to be hurt by my words, and then I have to feel bad about that imagined idea. And then that creates empathy, right? And so conservatives don't have empathy because they don't have imaginations. There's this amazing woman on TikTok who interviews conservatives and asks them, if you guys get everything you want, what would the world look like in 15 years? 15 years under unmatched conservative Republican dominance. What would the world look like? They don't have a single answer. Like, all they say is prices would be a little bit lower, there would be only white people, and there would be less lines to go to the hospital. And it's like, okay, prices lower, left. Lower lines to the hospital, left. Yeah, Nazi paradise, sure, that's right wing. But like, they don't have answers. And when you press them on that, they go like, well, basically, I think things are moving too fast and I just want to slow it down. So it's like, okay, so if you were in power for 15 years, your imagination of what the world would be like is everything we want, but slightly slower. And you're a Republican and you want what we want, but just less. That's not political idea. That's, there's no imagination. Progressives, liberals, leftists, we could all imagine what the world would look like under our political ideas. And fucking Republicans can't at all. That's no imagination. And so now let's apply this to every accusation as a confession. They can't accuse people of things that they don't do because that's imagination, you know? When it's something you hear a lot of times where it's like, I never understood. I never understood like the how crazy boys were until I had a daughter. It's like what you're saying is like, I never imagined that like raping this person was bad until I had a daughter, you know, and then I could see like, oh, this is a bad thing. And it's like, yeah, man, don't brag about that. Like, don't say like, I never comprehended the concept of a sentient being feeling pain until I had a daughter. Like, that's the same shit. They can't imagine this shit. And they talk about this all the time. And then there's lots of Republicans that are very racist, and then they'll make carve-outs for specific people in their life who are racial. And then, or they'll be all like, and I didn't understand until like I saw this happen to them. They can't imagine it. It's all like, it's a lack of imagination. So of course they can't accuse someone of pedophilia without being engaged in pedophilia. Of course every accusation is a confession for them because they don't have the brain to invent things to accuse people of. That's something they can't do. The best they can do is like read something and assume that someone else must have done it. You know, that's maybe less imagination, but it's just, it's crazy, man. I don't know. I don't know. That's a pocket rant, I guess. I remember pocket
Yeah,
rants. Go ahead.
I've come to the conclusion that I think a lot of people with that mindset not only are completely unable to empathize with other people, but also just assume that everybody else is the same way, which sort of like doubles that effect because they feel like, well, everybody else would do in the situation what I would do, which is this bad thing. Therefore, you're bad and you deserve whatever happens to you for what I'm going to do. And that just acts like this force multiplier on whatever it is they're doing, you know, of like, yes, I'm going to do this like kind of bad thing that if I really sat and thought about it, I would realize is bad. However, even if I did have that line of thought, there's no point because I'm assuming you're going to do just as bad or worse because that's what I would do.
Exactly, because that's another one is when religious people say, but if there wasn't a God who is punishing, if the religion doesn't exist, why would anyone not break a law all the time? It's like, that's a confession. That's because you can't imagine not doing something wrong unless you're going to be punished for it, you know?
Yeah.
Did I interrupt you too much?
No, that's exactly where I was going with this. It's just that, you know, you're right. Every accusation is a confession, and you know, when you interact with people that do that, it's really hard to play fair with them because they're playing by an entirely different set of rules. You
Right.
know, their goal is not to come up with a solution that makes everybody happy. Their goal is to get what they want because they assume you're doing the same thing.
Right.
And that's one of the reasons why I feel like coming up with compromises and a middle ground is so difficult when dealing with people with that mindset. You know, and I'm not just saying like politically conservative. I'm saying there's a lot of people who have that mindset that are on all different, you know,
Yeah, this
it's
gets
not
into a
just.
concept. It's called theory of mind. Theory of mind is the be able is the ability to ascribe mental states to other people and not just assume everyone's thinking what you're thinking. That's like a
Right.
concept and it is
Yes.
imaginative. Go ahead, though. I cut you off.
Yeah, no, and you know, it's like they treat the rest of the world like NPCs that just don't have a soul.
Yeah,
And
the
everybody else
NPC
is.
thing. Same shit. Go ahead.
Yes, you know, it's all of these behaviors, I think, are all converge on the same thing of just like literally being unable to understand what their actions are going to cause other people to feel. You know,
Yeah.
like I remember having a talk with somebody who was like baffled that I wasn't doing something bad when I had a chance to. And I was like, well, that would make me feel terrible. And you know, I've had that happen to me before, and that makes me feel terrible. I would never willingly make anyone feel that way ever in my life. And that was just such a foreign concept, you know.
Right.
It's a case of like, well, yeah, but you could still do it. And
Yeah, but wouldn't it be advantageous in some way for you, right?
yeah,
It's like, well, yeah, but that's not my problem. That's not the problem I'm having.
right. And the failure of imagination to see things like that is just astounding to me because you know, maybe this is my problem, is that I can't understand that mindset, you know, that I'm failing to empathize with how they're feeling. But I cannot put myself in that mental place of like, I'm gonna get what I want first, and I don't care the damage it causes. I don't care, you know, that's just that's such a foreign concept to me, the same way that to them what I'm saying is such a foreign concept, you know, and I don't ever, I don't see how humanity can bridge that gap when we have people's brains that are wired so differently.
Yeah, it's I that might be like one of the problems we really need to get on a like a good level is how to get those people to do stuff that we want despite them having this deficiency. Another thing that I was going to say, oh, you talked about compromise with these kinds of people. And I think like the pitfall is you're imagining like, oh, well, they're trying to think of compromise solutions too. And it's like, well, no, they aren't. So, you know, if that's what you're doing, but then that's what Democrats do. I don't know. The thing is, like, I don't know. It's almost too simple. Like, and it being so simple makes me think that it must not be true. But like, I keep coming back to like everybody's like the same. They're all driven by the same things. And they're all like, you know, it's like, they want some sense of belonging. They want to be productive. They want to have a community that works. They want to feel good about themselves. They want, you know, what they want. And then, you know, they come up with all these different ways of getting that. And that kind of forms their ideas about what's good and what's bad or whatever. But it's like every time people like make mistakes, it's all like for the same reasons, like on some level, you know, it's like, I don't know. It's too mushy. I guess I need to find a way to word this better, but like it all just feels like I don't know. Like, the more I just see everyone's struggles, the more it just all seems like the same thing just happening in different directions. And I feel like people get really mad when they're like, this group of people is like only doing this thing this one way, and I can't get it. And it's like, yeah, but they're doing like it's the same thing that you're doing just in this other thing. It's like you have this blind spot here instead, you know? And it's just all, it's just like, I don't know. That doesn't make solving the problem better or easier, I don't think. But it just like, to me, it gives me some sense of like compassion and understanding, I guess, like a bit of grace where it's like, yeah, this is just like, this is the problem with humans, apparently. And we all kind of struggle with this and try to make peace with it and find coping mechanisms. But, you know, how we do that differs wildly, and that's a big part of how we clash, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I think humans as a whole just have a tough time realizing that once not everyone's playing the same game at the same time, you know. Everybody has their own rules, everybody has their own objectives. And it's hard to imagine something outside of our own way of doing things. You know, whether you have the best of intentions or the worst, everyone still sort of like go walks into it assuming we're playing by the same rules. And I think more often than not, we're not playing by the same rules.
Yeah, I was arguing with someone. I was saying that I think small businesses are bad. A lot of small businesses basically only exist because of what amounts to tax fraud. And then he was like, I don't know. We were kind of arguing, going back and forth about it. And he was saying, well, I don't think it's wrong to claim as much as you can on your taxes. And if the government says that that's wrong, let them correct it. But I don't think that's wrong. And I don't think I think I said it on some level, but I don't think it really sunk in. But it's like, you've said the same thing about super rich people. It's like, well, yeah, they're just going to take the deductions they think they can. Is that wrong? And it's like, but a lot of people would say, yes, it's wrong that the rich don't pay their share. But it's like, okay, but it's okay when small businesses do that. It's the same thing. It's not, it's a matter of degree, sure, but it's not. It's a person protecting their interests, right? And it's, I don't think it's better that it's big businesses versus small business. I think it's all the same shit, And I think it's not good that we're not trying to do our fair share. But I obviously understand why it is. And then when you look at political corruption, I think it's basically the same thing. It's like, I have this power. I'm going to try and use it as much as I can to my benefit. That's why I have this power, right? And so it's like, is that much worse than just not taking, it's not paying your fair share. It's not doing what's fair. It's taking money that you shouldn't be taking for immoral things, It's all the same shit. It's people justifying their interests, trying to justify the things they want to do, trying to protect their back end, trying to, not get in trouble, trying to, for politicians is preserving their power so they can do the things that they want. And people, and it's like, well, they should be serving the people. And it's like, well, what if they got into politics not to serve the people? Well, maybe, they didn't do that themselves. People voted for it, So it's like, it's not their fault for doing what they want with the power that they accrued. I think that's a big problem a lot of leftists have with politicians, where they take it really personally. But like, you go into power because you want things. And then you do those things, and then you find out you have limits here or there, and then you come up with new things you want or new strategies to get what you want. But that's what you're doing. And you have the power. And if a bunch of leftists are like, hey, hand me over your power, I would like your power, you're not going to do that. Why would you do that? That's fucking stupid. You got the power. You have it. You're not just going to hand it over. If I became president and like right-wing people are like, hey, hand me your power. Or even liberals, let's say Chuck Schumer is like, hey, you should do what I want and not what you want. No, I got the power. I went out and got that. It's mine. I'm not going to give it to you just because you want it. What are you talking about? Take my power. Like, a big part of my political theory is that politicians don't serve the public. They take the power that they're able to take. And it's our job as voters to not let them take that power. And to the extent we let them take that power, that's their power. We let them take that. And we can take it back. And to the extent that we aren't, it's still their power. So you're going to get mad at them for using their power? It's like, no, that's what you're going to do when you have power. And again, it's all the same shit. And it's not that I'm saying it's good to do terrible political things. I'm saying fundamentally, we just have interests in things that we want. And we do them to the extent that we can. And that's what everybody is doing. It's just we disagree on the particulars. But the idea that like this person's evil because their ideas of what they want are so different than mine. And I do think that that makes them evil. Don't get them wrong. But I don't have a hang up over that because it makes sense to me. It's simple. It's not complicated. It's not alien. It's the same thing that I want in a different direction. But a lot of people can't comprehend that. And so they create these weird justifications and rationalizations in religions about why it all happens. And it's like, nah, it's all, everybody's just the same. We're all just the same. We're doing the same fucking shit, except I think, we're also discovering that there are these people without imaginations that are kind of not doing the same thing, but also even they're doing the same thing, I don't know. Theory of mind connects me to autism. Autistic people sometimes have issues with theory of mind. I was listening to a podcast that was talking about the cerebellum, which they thought used to involve your fine motor controls, but also basically fine tunes your mental responses and stuff. And that includes like laughing too loud or like having emotional outbursts and stuff. And I was like, that sounds like fucking autism, all this cerebellum stuff you're talking about. Then I looked it up and it seems like the cerebellum abnormalities code for a lot of autistic people have a lot of abnormalities in their cerebellum. So it's like, oh, that's interesting. It's just like they can't quite fine tune the correct way. It's like, you know, you throw a football way too hard and then way too soft and you can't actually land it, you know? And it's like, what am I doing wrong? It's like, yeah, you're missing this part that really locks in, and everyone notices that because their social brains, you know, see this little mismatch of appropriateness, you know. And I don't know if that's like the key to how autism functions or whatever, but like it was all making so much sense to me. But yeah, I maybe theory of mind is like a similar thing where it's just like you know, they can't fine tune. But it made me think of like neurodivergent and neurotypical people have such a hard time like understanding each other. And I wonder if understanding it in this framework of this fine tuning, deficiency, I wonder if that can help. When I'm having big reactions, it certainly seems like it would help me to be like, oh yeah, my reaction dial is not right, you know? Like, that's what's happening. That's why I'm overwhelmed right now. It seems pretty simple or whatever. Not, you know, who knows? I don't know.
What do you think of the fact that, like, you know, we're kind of like, I think humans are a lot more tribal than we are these days. You know, like, our societies have grown incredibly large. Mm-hmm. When people are from small villages or small, very insular communities, small towns, that kind of thing, they all tend to be more alike in these areas, like a theory of mind and empathy and things like that, than they are in the kind of societies that we're in right now. Do you think that means that our brains are more malleable than we think they are? Or is this just the true us coming out and people in small communities have to learn how to hide being different?
I think it's like an overwhelm thing. I think every time a system scales up, the dynamics that govern it change. You know, there's lots of rat experiments about like urban environments and social stress and all this stuff that I think like it's just kind of harder to manage. I think overwhelm is tough. I think, you know, when animals get overwhelmed, they kind of shut down and have to clear stress, but we're not necessarily able to do that in our lives. And that's why people have meltdowns. I think, you know, like stress-related issues, stress-related mental issues, stress-related injuries, repeated stress injuries. Like, I think all of these things happen way more than they used to because of like the pace of society, you know? And I think that codes for a lot of it. I think you're right that brains are really plastic, but I think that means that we're adapting to this and our mind might be able to like comprehend it, but that doesn't mean our bodies are capable of withstanding it. And our bodies in that sense includes our mind as an organ rather than a logic machine. And so like, I think that's affecting us and we're seeing those effects, but I think, you know, people are really adaptable. Like, you know, that's the cool thing. You know, a lot of people can endure terrible hardship. You know, there's a lot of people that can survive the camps and there is a lot of people that survived Nazi Germany, you know, and it is hard to, and people are looking at these Epstein things and they're like, I don't know how to live with myself. I don't know how people are going around like everything's normal. It's like, that's the human talent. We can go around like everything's normal. Like that's a crazy, amazing ability that we have. You know, we just don't, we're not skittish like a feral cat, you know, like we can roll with stuff. It's an incredible strength. It means we can survive the Holocaust. Like that's amazing. It's amazing that society didn't end because we couldn't psychically handle that stuff, but it has a downside and the downside is everyone's Nazis, you know? So, you know, I think we're stretching the limits of what people can bear. We're at the breaking point. And I think, you know, I think what we're seeing are the tears in society and there seems to be like a rupture coming, but everybody always perceives that there's a rupture coming, but I don't know. I think people are kind of seeing things for what they are in a new way, still plagued by all their delusions and illusions for sure. But I think it's happening. And I hope that, they stick with it and I hope that people realize that they're the ones that have the power and it's their job to go out and do what they want. I think for a long time, you know, Obama's a big thing, but like Obama was like, they're going to solve this for us. And then they didn't. And it's like, no one's ever going to solve it for you because they have power to use the power to do what they want. They don't want to solve it for you. They want to do this or that, you know? And a lot of people do want to do this, do want to solve stuff, but you know, you can do what you can do. I don't know. And a lot of people are plagued with their own mental issues you know, fears and insecurities and stuff. And that limits what they can do too. But not everyone is like Zoran. And a lot of people are saying Zoran's not doing enough too, you know? But he seems to be very mentally healthy and he really understands the stakes. And I think that allows him to use his power very effectively. And I think a lot of politicians aren't that mentally healthy, or they're too beaten down, or they have trauma or whatever. And I think that restricts them from doing the things they can do. And also, so, you know, it's hard to collaborate. It's hard to, you know, I'm finding out it's hard to organize. It's hard to get people to agree with you, especially if they lack empathy and lack imagination, right? So, like, I don't know. I'm seeing the pieces that will solve the problem, but that doesn't mean they'll come together, right? And I don't think it'll be good. I think it could get really bad before it gets better. It's not like we'll necessarily be spared, but it's still hopeful in some way, you know? I don't know. It really, and who knows, maybe next week it'll feel completely different, but it does. I do think that as depressed as I've sounded today, I do think that this week has felt so much different than the week before. And that's really important. And we need to notice that and recognize that. And yeah, it could be good or not, you know, maybe we'll just all explode. Maybe there'll be a nuclear war tomorrow and none of this matters, but hey, you know, who cares? Right. At least there's a bad podcast in your ears.
Exactly. And that's what matters right now.
That's what matters. Content, baby. Oh, yeah. Okay.
God, I really hope there's nobody in the world whose last thing before they die is hearing my voice. You know, I think that would be not what I would want for anyone.
I like your voice. Write us a comment if you want the last thing you hear when you die to be Kevin's voice. We'll record that and send it to you for your deathbed.
I will do that. Join Spencer's Patreon. That could be a tier.
Yeah, join my Patreon, patreon.com/thesixler. I don't know. It's a sad state of affairs over there. Really, you're just supporting me. I mean, whatever. I don't know. I should figure something out. But that was always the point, was just to support me, support the podcast, support me, support Kevin. You know, that's the point. Kevin needs your help now more than ever.
we survive on your engagement, you know.
His living room has shrunk to 18 feet instead of 20. But yeah, we survive on your engagement. That's the thing. And that's sad. It would be nice if I just created, and I guess on some level I create my own art just because I want to. But, you know, I do it because I want people to validate me. Is that good? Probably not. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe that's why I'm not funny anymore. That can't be right. Okay. We're liking to ending the showing. Yeah. Until next time. The same way every time. Spleen. I got a Grammy.